Mike Malloy here. Thanks for tuning in. Woo! Senator John Ensign has announced that he's getting out of the Senate because, you know, too many distractions. Like he's stripping his assistant's wife and the family paying him off, blah, blah, blah. So Ensign's resigning. Of course, he's blaming it on everybody but himself. He can't just stand up there and say, look, I was a real jackass, and I'm not deserving of being a senator anymore in the Family Values Party, so I'm out of here. Okay, that's all you're going to hear from me about that. May 3rd, John Ensign is leaving. Thug. This hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California, who says, Mike Malloy show is like spritzing a lemon into Rupert Murdoch's eye, making him say, oi, mate, what you drunkos doing over there, eh? Truth Seekers, keep sponsoring. Thank you, Joe. You know, I have an email from Joe, rather long one. I may read a little bit later tonight. Joe in Temecula, California, sponsoring this hour. There is a Bradley Manning Defense Fund, and apparently it's tax deductible. It's at CourageToResist.org. CourageToResist, all spelled out, .org. Did you hear what happened today? Obama had a pricey breakfast fundraiser at the St. Regis Hotel this morning in San Francisco. And right in the middle of it, you can see this. It's on, you can go to San Francisco Chronicle's website, sfgate.com. You can see the whole video. But he was giving a speech at this breakfast. It's a fundraiser. Big money, big money. St. Regis Hotel in San Francisco. All of a sudden, four or five people sitting at a table who had paid $76,000 for tickets. Now, they had an angel, Naomi Pitcairn in Oakland, had bought the tickets. 76 grand. So here's this table of you know, nicely dressed. They're there for a breakfast fundraiser with the El Presidente of the United States. And the singers stood up and started singing right in the middle of the speech. And they were airing their feelings about the treatment of Bradley Manning. Naomi Pitcairn told the San Francisco Chronicle that she put up the funds for tickets for these protesters from, and I want you to go to their website, freshjuiceparty.com. Fresh juice, just like orange juice, you know, freshjuiceparty.com. It is a liberal group that does performance art, or did this morning at Obama's final fundraiser in the city before they before he flew to L.A., the next stop on his trip to promote money for his, you know, reelection campaign. Now, there are all kinds of really important people, RIPs, in the crowd, in the dining room at the St. Regis to hear Obama. Senator Dianne Feinstein, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, former San Francisco Mayor Willie Brown, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, State Attorney General Kamala Harris, Governor Jerry Brown. People paid anywhere from $5,000 to $35,800 per ticket to see the president. Now, the protesters who sang included UC Santa Cruz art professor Elizabeth Stevens, songwriter Craig Casey, activist Jane Sullivan of Santa Cruz, writer Greg Archer, David Schiller of Berkeley, and organizers from Tony's Circus, a performance group. Reminds me of, what was that group in San Francisco? What was the group in San Francisco? Their T-shirts had a red star. Oh, my God, I used to have them on. They were real kind of Marxist left-wing performance art. Somebody help me out here. I can't think of it. They're from San Francisco. No, not the Raging Grannies. Somebody got a name of the performance art back in the 80s. 80s and 90s. They've been around for a long time. I think they're still there. Oh, well. The song, where's the lyrics? Oh, here's the song. This is what they sang. Now, the video is complete with a full song. It's kind of awkward to just recite it here. But here it is. Dear Mr. President, we honor you today, sir. Each of us brought you $5,000. It takes a lot of Benjamins to run a campaign. I paid my dues. Where's our change? We'll vote for you in 2012. Yes, that's true. Look at the Republicans. What else can we do? Even though we don't know if we'll retain our liberties in what you seem content to call a free society, yes, it's true that Terry Jones is legally free to burn a people's holy book in shameful effigy. But at another location in this country, alone in a 6x12, sits Bradley, 23 hours a day and night. The Fifth and Eighth Amendments say this kind of thing ain't right. We paid our dues. Where's our change? Well, it was a great performance. And then, you know, Obama stood there and listened. And then, you know, they weren't, you didn't see a bunch of Gestapo come over and thuggishly remove them, because the singers, the performance artists, were very polite. They just stood up in the middle of a speech. Mr. President, we have a song we'd like to sing for you, if you don't mind. And then they started singing. And Obama made, an attempt to say, well, wait a minute. And they just kept, singing. And then Naomi Pitcairn, who was at the table, stood up and removed her jacket, and she revealed a T-shirt protesting Bradley Manning's treatment. And finally, Ms. Pitcairn stood up to leave and asked if the president liked the song. He complimented their voices with a smile. One protester who stayed seated called out, "We loved you!" Loved. Past tense. We loved you! Funds from the $35,800 tickets to the Breakfast Victory campaign fundraiser were divided between Organizing for America and the Democratic National Committee. I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, we know that Bradley Manning has been moved at this point to Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. And you contribute. You can, if you care to, contribute to the Bradley Manning Defense Fund by going to the website CourageToResist.org. Is nobody going to help me out with the San Francisco Mime Troupe? That's who it was. Just leaped into my head. San Francisco Mime Troupe. Great group of revolutionary actors and performers and singers and jugglers, and really, really good group. That's who this reminds me of. The group that performed today. You need to go to their website. Wait a minute. I've laid it down here. Go to their website, Fresh Juice Party, freshjuiceparty.com. Check them out. Would you do that? Well, thank you very much. And the Bradley Manning Defense Fund, CourageToResist.org. You know, it takes a lot of money to get justice in corporate America. A lot of money to get justice. All right. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Such a wreck, but I'm staying alive. Hey, girl.
21 past the hour. Another Glenn Beck nutball was on the loose in Littleton, Colorado yesterday. Can you believe this? Obviously inspired by the Beckster. Pipe bomb, propane tanks found after a fire at a Littleton, Colorado mall. the Southwest Plaza Mall's food court. Small fire broke out Wednesday, quickly squelched, and the fire department was there, and they found this unexploded pipe bomb and propane tanks after the massacre at Columbine High School. You remember, unexploded pipe bombs and a propane tank with explosives attached were found at the school after the shooting. They never went off. Wednesday, of course, was the 12th anniversary of this rampage. And a sheriff's spokeswoman said, quote, the fact that this happened on April 20th, 12 years later, near the school. The school's about 2 miles away and with similar devices is very disturbing. It's a Glenn Beck listener. Jesus God. I was curious when the next one was going to go off his nut and start doing what Uncle Beckster puts in his head, you know, little voices in there with a chalkboard and the plots and this and that and yada yada. Anyway, there's video of this bastard. Yes, there is. The FBI says they have identified a person of interest seen on surveillance video entering a stairwell that typically isn't used by the public. He's described as a white male. Well, now that's a surprise. With graying hair and a silver mustache. That's probably fake. Photos taken from surveillance show him in a dark cap, gray and white striped shirt, dark jacket, blue jeans, and dark shoes. He is seen entering a stairwell carrying a white plastic bag. Be cool if Beck's head was in there, but no. It was something. So another Beck listener goes off his nut. There you go. Sheriff's official said there are usually 6,000 to 10,000 people in the mall around noon every day. Everybody got out okay. The bombs didn't go off. And now they'll find this guy. And maybe he'll confess. Maybe he'll say, yes, I'm a Glenn Beck fan. And I was just doing what my master tells me to do. Every day he tells me to do it. Every day. Every day. Full-page ad in the New York Times today, Robert Redford and StopPebble.org. It's run by the National Resources Defense Council. That's who paid for the ad. Redford says, don't let the mining industry do to Bristol Bay, Alaska, what they did in my backyard. And he's talking about there's a company, Rio Tinto and Anglo-American, two companies, Anglo-American and Rio Tinto. Redford says, nearby home in Utah, Rio Tinto's massive Bingham Canyon mine is one of the biggest man-made excavations on Earth and has rendered a large area of local groundwater too polluted for human consumption in Utah. Redford goes on, I'm not against mining. I am against putting mega mines where they don't belong. The Rio Tinto and Anglo-American companies want to put a mine even bigger than Bingham at the headwaters of our planet's greatest wild salmon river systems. It's an environmental tragedy waiting to happen. These sons of bitches just don't care, do they? They just don't care. The National Resources Defense Council states it fairly clearly. Anglo-American and Rio Tinto, the so-called pebble mine that they own would be gouged out of an American paradise filled with salmon, bears, moose, caribou, wolves, and whales that has sustained native communities for thousands of years. Imagine a pit, now get this, 2 miles wide, 2 miles wide, 2,000 feet deep, and an underground mine a mile deep. This gargantuan gold and copper operation, oh, gold, oh, I see, Beck's involved in this too? Gold and copper operation would produce an estimated 10 billion tons of contaminated waste, 3,000 pounds for every man, woman, and child on Earth. Oh, but we gotta have the money. We gotta have the money, goddammit! We need the money! The pebble mine is opposed by nearly 80% of Bristol Bay residents. 80% say no. Anglo-American's history, look them up sometime, is littered with one pollution disaster after another, from Zimbabwe to Ireland to Nevada. Rio Tinto has left a trail of toxic contamination that spans the globe from Indonesia to Bolivia to Utah. In February, the Mitsubishi Corporation did the right thing by ending its participation in this misguided venture. Go to stoppebble.org, please. Stoppebble.org. It's unconscionable rapist bastards.
Very afraid. It's Mike Malloy.
Do I stress you out? My sweater is on backwards and inside out, and you say, how appropriate. I don't dissect everything today. I don't mean to pick you apart, you see, but I
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California, who says Mike Malloy's show is like spritzing a lemon into Rupert Murdoch's eye, making him say, "Oi, mate, what your dog was doing over there, eh?" I'm sorry. True Seekers, keep sponsoring. I'm real tempted to say this, but I don't want to get anybody the wrong idea. But I'm going to say it anyway. You know, one of our sponsors around holidays is ProFlowers, right? And I have a recorded commercial. You probably heard it during the last break. And the only reason I mention this, since they started being one of the sponsors of the program, on holidays they send, a box of flowers here, free. It's one of the perks of being a big-time radio talk show host with 37 listeners. You know, you get free flowers. Reason I bring this up, you don't hear me endorse products very often, if ever. I mean, I used to, but I just, but you hear me doing this ProFlowers commercial, and I'll tell you why. God, this sounds, I don't know how this sounds, but I got to say it. These flowers that they send to us are impossibly perfect. I mean, I don't know how they do it. And you know that bit in the commercial where I say that the blooms stay bloomy for a week? Longer. It's really incredible. Now, the reason I say this is because usually around holidays, like Mother's Day or Easter, whatever, any holiday, birthdays, I'll take Molly and we'll go to a supermarket. Here in the South, it would be Kroger's. We go to a supermarket and we go to the floral section and we buy these real pretty flowers and we take them home and Molly's so happy and she gives them to her mom. And then 2 days later, they look like crap. They just fall apart. So anyway, that's all I'm going to say. If you're looking for flowers for somebody, do what the commercial says. Just go to proflowers.com. Seriously. This was not a paid commercial. The commercial is what you heard during the commercial break. But I just wanted to say that. I've said it. That's all. Goodbye. Good night. A couple of articles in the past couple of days in New York Times about Rush Limbaugh's drug. This is Limbaugh's legacy. OxyContin. The Obama administration said on Tuesday it would seek legislation requiring doctors to undergo training before being permitted to prescribe OxyContin. And this step is taken by federal officials to control the use and abuse of the drug. It's gotten out of control. You know, hillbilly heroin, they call it here in the South. I don't know what they call it around the rest of the country. But Limbaugh, Limbaugh is the one who was eating these things by the handfuls and sending his housekeeper out to buy them in the parking lot of, what was it, Pancake House or something? Denny's. Limbaugh has a chance here to redeem himself a little bit. Not really. He's a total rat bastard. But he has a chance here. What Limbaugh should do, since he is a recovering addict, since he escaped going to jail by the skin of his skin, he barely got out of it because he was able to pay millions of dollars to an attorney who bought off the county prosecutor. That's the assumption you have to make. I mean, if you get busted the way Limbaugh get busted, your ass is going to jail, but you're not Rush Limbaugh. Anyway, Limbaugh has a chance here. Front page New York Times, was it yesterday or today, whatever, a story about the utter devastation in Portsmouth, Ohio. It's an industrial town on the Ohio River. It was once known for its shoes and its steel. But now it's made a name for itself in a different reason. It is home to the highest rate of prescription drug overdoses in the state of Ohio. This is something John Kasich could go to work on, right? I'm sure he's cut programs to work with addicts. But nearly one in 10 babies born last year, it's in Scioto County, Ohio. 1 in 10 tested positive for drugs. Babies. Now, where are all the anti-abortion screamers? Where are you, sons of bitches? You're not interested in healthy babies. You're interested in suppressing and controlling women. If you were interested, you would get up on your horses and ride into Scioto County, into Portsmouth, Ohio, and try to do something. But you're not. Fatal overdoses in Ohio more than quadrupled in the last 10 years. When was it? About 7 or 8 years ago that Limbaugh, was that how long ago it was that Limbaugh, flipped into his drug thing? It's just astonishing. So the two articles, both in the Times, I think. Oxycontin. They're also targeting fentanyl, hydromorphone, and methadone. This is really a drugged out country. I would no more take, what was it when I had all the oral surgery a few years ago? What did they give me? Vicodin. Yeah. I couldn't stand it. I mean, I don't know how people get hooked on those kinds of drugs. I guess they're opiates. Are they opiates? Is Vicodin an opiate? But Rush Limbaugh, who drove himself deaf, had to have implants put in his ears because of his uncontrollable drug abuse. What was it? He was taking like the 25 of them a day or something?
Oh, more than that.
Doctor shopping, which is illegal. Sending out his housekeeper. You got to wonder where her birth certificate is, right? To score drugs for him from street dealers. And now all around the country, thanks to this is part of Limbaugh legacy, you have these pain clinics. Pain clinics. Now, somebody who's really in pain, you're going to go to a pain clinic? They cost more than if you go to a doctor. What's the difference? Well, at the pain clinic, these are prescription, illegal prescription drug mills. That's all they are. Now, I take kind of a libertarian, God, I hate to say that, point of view where it concerns drug use. But not this. Who benefits from this? Pharmaceutical industry? The people who take these drugs, their lives are destroyed. Now, part of it, you got to look at cause and effect, too. Why do people take these kind of drugs? Well, apparently because their lives are so goddamn miserable. They consider this to be the only way out. But beyond that, I think a lot of right-wingers saw Limbaugh, found out that Limbaugh was an addict for years, eating Oxycontin, his hillbilly heroin, by the hands full, and figured, well, if Rush can do it, hell, I can do it. Glenn Beck wants me to go kill people, but all Rush wants me to do is use illegal drugs. Hell yeah! So Limbaugh, come on, punk. Get yourself out. Go to Portsmouth, Ohio. Drag that little twerp back with you. Why don't the two of you go rent a movie theater there like the Halfwit did? Where was that? What town was that in? Go rent a movie theater, Rush. Lunch money to you. Lunch money. You two guys are great stars, aren't you? Huh? You, a recovering addict, and Glenn Beck, practicing Mormon. I mean, the two of you be great, man. Go into Portsmouth, Ohio, and then take your show on the road. Go from town to town. Be living, breathing proof, Rush, that people can survive, not quite intact, but use yourself as an example. I was a drug addict with OxyContin. I no longer can hear. And I almost killed myself and almost got my housekeeper killed from scoring illegal drugs for me on the goddamn street. Why don't you do that, Rush? Come on, buddy. All that 50 million, 80 million, whatever it is a year you make. Hell, you spend more on underpants than it would cost you to go rent a theater in Portsmouth, Ohio and talk to people. Why don't you do it? Rush? Oh, that's right. You wouldn't do it. Because you're Rush Limbaugh. Jackass. I can't tell you how many different levels that man irritates me. Arrogant, drug-addled. I think you ought to continue. I think Limbaugh should just go ahead. Rush, indulge your habit. You probably do anyway. Now, you can tell when he's off the pills because he blows up like a helium-filled balloon. We'll be right back.
The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Joe in Temecula, California. He's got a message. Mike Malloy's show is like spritzing a lemon into Rupert Murdoch's eye, making him say, "Oi, mate, what you drongos doing over there, eh?" True Seekers, keep sponsoring. Thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it. What about this? Will Potter is the author of a new book, Green is the New Red, an insider's account of a social movement under siege. And Will Potter said today, with Earth Day approaching, when is that? When's Earth Day? Next week?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's Earth Day. With Earth Day approaching, everyone is talking about going green, Will Potter writes, but most people are unaware that anti-terrorism resources are being used to target environmentalists and animal rights activists. In Pennsylvania, for example, a counter-terrorism firm, you know, private enterprise, was used to spy on people who attended film screenings of the documentary Gasland. Have you seen that? Whew. Will Potter goes on, in California, Activists have faced terrorism charges for chalking slogans on the sidewalk. And, of course, environmentalist Tim DeChristopher is now facing 10 years in prison for nonviolently disrupting an oil and gas auction. Industry groups have created the term eco-terrorism to demonize a group of people because of their political beliefs, and their campaigns have successfully turned these groups into the FBI's, quote, number one domestic terrorism threat, end quote. Yeah, it's not the people that are inspired by Glenn Beck to go plant pipe bombs or try to kill people at the Tides Institute. It's not people who are inspired by Rush Limbaugh to get involved in opening up phony, bogus pain clinics and peddling pharmaceutical drugs, which the pharmaceutical industry loves. No. It's people who are trying to make a point about the rape and pillage of the only home human beings are ever going to have. And that's this planet. Obamacare is a government takeover of health care. We talked about this. When did we talk about this last night? How that meme was started until everybody believed it. The big lie, Hitlerian tactics, Stalinist tactics, this is what the corporatists want done. Now, and the meme has been out there for some time, number one domestic terrorism threat, environmentalists. I wonder how much longer we're going to put up with this. I really do. Can't help myself. I just wonder all the time. How long before we say, okay, that's it, and take action? Huh? I hesitate to start this right now, so I'll wait until after the top of the hour. But you, I don't think you're going to believe this. As crazy as things are, the story I have for you when we come back from the break, is truly mind-boggling. And it shows the depths of depravity and evil that Republicans in Congress are capable of reaching. I mean, this is, I don't know. When I saw this, no. This can't be true. But it is true. We'll do that when we come back. The breast milk of four Japanese mothers has been found to contain radioactive iodine. The contamination came to light after tests were conducted on breast milk samples taken from nine women living northeast or east of Tokyo. Four of these women were found to be contaminated. But the highest reading of 36.3 becquerels of radioactive iodine per kilogram detected in the milk of a mother of an eight-month-old baby in Chiba Prefecture. There are no current legal safety levels for radioactive substances in breast milk. Oh, gee, why not? The breast milk readings were below the safety limit of 100 becquerels per kilogram of tap water consumption by infants under 1 year of age, and no radioactive cesium was found. Well, there's always good news, isn't there? Just when you think it's the darkest cloud imaginable, radioactive breast milk, well, guess what? It's only radioactive iodine, which, as the baby drinks it, of course, will go immediately to the baby's thyroid, and the baby will develop thyroid cancer and die. But no radioactive cesium. The findings of the study conducted by the citizens group in Japan has sparked concern, it says here, surrounding the impact of the nuclear crisis on mothers and babies. Kikuko Murakami, who heads one of these groups, told a Kyoto news agency, quote, "We cannot yet determine safety, but infants drink breast milk. We want the government to conduct an extensive investigation swiftly." Radioactive iodine in breast milk. In Japan. Well, that's no big deal, Malloy. Hell, there's PCBs in the breast milk of every single woman on Earth, including here in the dear old United States of America. You know, PCBs, it's inorganic, a chemical compound that, you know, just plays havoc with your immune system and your respiratory system and your digestive system and your nervous. Oh, never mind. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Discovery.
It is 7 past the hour, and this hour is sponsored by George Tertarian, who I believe sponsored an hour last night, didn't he? George Tertarian, his message. This Sunday is not only Easter, it is April 24th. The last time Easter Sunday fell on April 24th was in 1915, when the Turkish government enacted their final solution and thus began the systematic genocide of their Armenian population. By 1918, out of a population of 2.5 million, 1.5 million were dead. I am the grandson of survivors. George Tertarian. Okay, it didn't take long. Thanks to Bob in Miami. Polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, are aromatic organic compounds. I said they were inorganic. Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, usually when I get in the technical realm, it's always a wild guess. I try to sound like I'm smart, but there's certain things that no. Anyway, thanks, Bob. Aromatic organic compound, PCBs, in the breast milk, in breast tissue of every woman on Earth. The story, the one that is just, I don't know how to process this or comprehend it or understand it or get a handle on it, so to speak. I just can't. A provision in the 9/11 health bill, that's for the first responders. A provision in that bill, it was put there by a Republican, Cliff Stearns, a Republican representative from Florida, during the debate over the bill in the House Energy and Commerce Committee a year ago, last May. It's now law. A provision which adds insult to injury for people who got sick after the service that they provided after the 2001 attacks in Midtown Manhattan. The tens of thousands of cops and firefighters and construction workers and others who survived that assault, allowed to happen by the Bush crime family. And you know, the people that risked their lives to help will soon be informed that their names must be run through the FBI's terrorism watch list. According to a letter obtained by Huffington Post, Michael McAuliffe writing at Huffington Post, and any of the responders who are not compared to the database of suspected terrorists would be barred from getting treatment for the numerous worsening ailments that the James Zadroga 9/11 Health and Compensation Law was passed to address. Remember that law? The James Zadroga, who is one of the first responders who died. 9/11 Health and Compensation Law. Now, this requirement that every single responder who is applying for compensation has to have his name compared to the FBI's anti-terrorism list. I'll be a son of a bitch. This is about as low. I mean, it's one thing to try to dump on old people coming up. Not the current old people. What's his name? The head of the budget committee, House Budget Committee, the twerp, the Eddie Munster grown up. It doesn't affect people who are currently on Social Security because Ryan knows that those people still vote. This is for people under 55. Okay? It's one thing to dump on them. It's another thing to cut off women, infants, and children from nutrition. It's another thing to stop food stamps, to take away Head Start, to defund every goddamn thing that the Republicans can put their filthy hooks into. But this is really taking it to a different level. Don't you think, Truth Seeker? Any first responder or anybody who helped in the worst terrorist attack on this country since the War of 1812, allowed to happen by the Bush crime family, any responder, if he or she wants compensation, has to submit to an FBI comparison to the list, the names on their anti-terrorism checklist. I'll be goddamned. This was tacked onto the law during the bitter debates over it last year. The letter, over the signature of Dr. John Howard, director of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, informs medical providers and administrators that they should begin letting patients know before this new program kicks in July. Glenn Klein, former NYPD Emergency Services Officer, says this is absurd, it's silly, it's stupid, it's asinine. There's better words for it than that, Mr. Kelly, Mr. Klein. John Field, a former construction worker who lost half a foot at Ground Zero and runs the advocacy group The Feel Good Foundation, says, quote, "It's comical at best, and I think it's an actual insult to everyone who worked on the pile, the ruins, and is sick and suffering from 9/11. Now, this provision was added in an amendment by Representative Cliff Stearns, Republican of Florida. There's no surprise, right? First of all, it's a Republican. Second, it's from Florida. September 11th responders who were in the committee room at the time mostly shook their heads, looked at the floor. Democrats accepted this on a voice vote after battling to bar other amendments that were added to the responders bill on abortion and immigration. They added that. These sick bastards in the Republican teabag crime cult organization. Get a grip, Mike. Doctors and administrators, as they begin acting on the federal instructions, participants in the 9/11 treatment and monitoring programs will soon be told that their names, places of birth, addresses, government ID numbers, and other personal data will be provided to the FBI to ensure they are not terrorists. You think this country isn't just right in the toilet and somebody is ready to pull the handle and flush it? John Howard, Dr. John Howard, director of the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, in his letter says, quote, "Although neither we nor the CDC anticipate the name of any individual in the current programs will be on the list, CDC and the Occupational Safety and Health Organization is expressly required by law to implement this particular requirement of the act. Thanks to the Republicans. Thanks to the Republicans. Republicans. God damn it. Do you understand that? Do you understand this one? The letter concludes, thank you for your understanding. We look forward to working with you and ensuring that you continue to receive uninterrupted services under the new World Trade Center Health Program. Now, Feel, the guy who has the Feel Good Foundation, John Feel, that's what it means, Feel Good. He said, when cops and firefighters get this at home, they're going to hit the roof. Klein, the former NYPD emergency services officer, said he personally wasn't offended, but couldn't think of a good reason for cops and firefighters to be screened by the FBI in order to keep getting treatment. He said, I mean, we are even talking about the undocumented workers who clean the office buildings, wondered Klein. Today, we know all the cops, firefighters, and construction workers. They're all already documented. Now, what's going to happen, Truth Seeker, huh? When this filthy, corrupt, disgusting little Republican twerp bastard who put this in the bill, what's going to happen when an undocumented worker who risked his life to get in there and help for $10 an hour, whatever he was paid, when it turns up he doesn't have the proper papers in this country? What's going to happen to that undocumented worker? Think about that one for a minute.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Now imagine these people who were not just the first responders, but the people who worked on the cleanup for months, sick and dying. Imagine if these people have names that are similar to actual terror suspects. And these people in New York get flagged. And they're from all over the country, not just New York. They're all over the country. How many people came from all over the country to help? And this is how the Republicans pay them back. See, this is the Ayn Rand philosophy. If you're compassionate, if you help other people, you're a louse. You're lice. Compassion is for suckers, stupid people, and losers. This is the Republican, this is the Paul Ryan, Ayn Rand philosophy writ large. You helped out? Die! Feel of the Feel Good Organization acknowledged that the terrorist screening has to be done now because it's the law and the letters have to go out. But he holds this piece of human dreck, Stearns, the representative from Florida, responsible. Cliff Stearns. He says, I think Congressman Stearns is stabbing at pettiness. He's a buffoon. We get sicker and die. And they're going to disseminate a letter wondering whether we're terrorists or not. I think everybody needs to start showing a little more compassion. Well, I don't think compassion is what needs to be shown. I really don't. We've, Obama tries to show compassion to the Republicans, which is stupid on Obama's part. He ought to show compassion to people like Bradley Manning, huh? But I'll tell you what, John Field, former construction worker, compassion is not something these people understand. You know what they understand? A good, solid, quick punch right in their goddamn noses. That's what they understand. Bang!
Why'd you hit me?
Because you're a half-wit. Because you are insisting that I get off my sick bed and bring my breathing apparatus and come down there every year to have this renewed. Now, let's go back to May of last year when this bill was being argued in the Congress. This was in New York Daily News. Republicans argued Tuesday that it would put the nation's finances at risk if Congress gave ailing September 11th responders a permanent guaranteed program to ensure they get health care. See? Calling the September 11th Health and Compensation Act a new entitlement program like Medicare, Republican members of the House Energy and Commerce Committee argued the nation already has too much that it has to pay for. They said obligating the federal government for lifetime care of tens of thousands of 9/11 responders was too much of a burden. Don't worry, you rat bastards. Eventually they all die. God, I hate these people. Representative Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan, said, quote, by making this a new mandatory program, you jeopardize the financial health of the United States of America. Really? Really? Wouldn't you like to get these people alone just for maybe 15 minutes with a baseball bat in your hands? I mean, come on, think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Woo! These Republicans said the 9/11 people are already being cared for. There's $150 million that Obama recently requested. Representative John Shimkus, Republican of Illinois, argued that the demand of these responders for the federal government to help, quote, would be just if we weren't spending money already. You filthy pigs. Now, all the bill did was aim to set up a permanent fund to care for ailing responders at a cost estimated over 30 years to be around $11 billion. We're talking about a lot of sick people. We're talking about all kinds of tragedies that occurred thanks to the Bush crime family's absolute refusal to defend and protect the country and allowed this to happen. Republicans wanted the responders to come back to Congress every year to make their case, which the Republicans said will help protect against fraud and waste. Shimkus, the Republican from Illinois, said, quote, if this issue is so credible based on the results of September 11th, we shouldn't be afraid of going through the budget authorization process and fight for the spending bill. End quote. Do you understand that? Do you understand what this piece of human waste is saying? Republicans, every time I think about it, I sit here and my hands just clench into fists. And people wonder why I use bad language. And what are these teabag Republicans say? Oh, my Lord, you're such a name caller. You're a name caller. That sounds like something your Sunday school teacher would say, right? Stop being a name caller, you little punks. Sponsored by George Tertarian. He has a message. This Sunday is not only Easter, it is April 24th. The last time Easter Sunday fell on April 24th was in 1915 when the Turkish government enacted their final solution and thus began the systematic genocide of the Armenian population. By 1918, out of 2.5 million people, 1.5 million were dead. I am the grandson of survivors. In addition to George sponsoring an hour, I think what he would like would be for people to check it out. Armenian genocide. That's why. Just Google that. Armenian genocide. Back to the story. Back in May of last year, 2010, when the Republicans were refusing to provide money, or attempted to refuse to provide money, to the people who were made sick and who will die sooner than the actuary tables say they should die, from all sorts of diseases, from breathing in God knows what, in that huge cloud of death and destruction engineered by the Bush administration, as they tried to rescue people, as they removed debris, and the Republicans said, no money for you. To hell with you. This is a Republican attitude. This is the Ayn Rand attitude. This is Paul Ryan's attitude. This is, this is it. What else do you need, truth seeker, to understand how vile Republicans are? What do you need? Kentucky Republican Representative Ed Whitfield at the time said, quote, some of the conditions that are covered under this legislation seem unusually broad to me because we're talking about, you know, asthma, sleep apnea, panic disorder, anxiety disorder, even substance abuse. It's so broad that I think it's going to cover a lot of things that may not be directly related to this incident. You son of a bitch. Not directly related? Can you imagine if Kentucky Republican Representative Ed Whitfield would have been in the vicinity when the Bush crime family engineered an attack on this country? Can you just see this Republican running like his ass was on fire to get away from Lower Manhattan and is still running had he been there? Because all Republican members of Congress are cowards, liars, sneaks, amoral thugs. Here's your proof. Huh? Representative Phil Gingrey, Republican of Georgia. What is he, a dentist, a doctor? What is he? I think he's a dentist. He argued that New York was trying to dump its responsibility for caring for victims of the terrorist attacks on the rest of us. Can you believe this? He said, quote, our support for the responders should not be a vehicle for cost shifting. He said, we may be encouraging waste here, fraud and abuse. Abuse such as New York City vigorously challenging more and more of these claims that our 9/11 heroes need, pushing more and more of them onto the World Trade Center Health Fund for relief. Oh, I get it, Phil, you filthy half-human. I get it. The city of New York is trying to shift its what? Its healthcare responsibilities onto who, Phil? You slimy Republican thug. Representative Anthony Weiner, Democrat of Brooklyn, Queens, said the whole debate over whether the program should be mandatory or an annual discretionary program misses the point. He said it was Congress's obligation to help the people who answered the call almost 9 years ago. Jesus God, it does take a Democrat to point that out, doesn't it? He noted that the health fund could not be an endless and growing entitlement like Medicare. Weiner said there's a finite number of people involved. That finite number of people is getting smaller and smaller every day. Because they're dying. New Yorkers who were in the crowd at these hearings were not impressed with the Republicans. Jim Slevin, vice president of the Uniform Firefighters Association, said, quote, they always say they support us, but it's all about money. And William Romaca, the Association, Uniform Firefighters Association's Sergeant Arms said, and coming back here year after year to make the argument punishes people who are sick from their service. Coming back and forth every year is not easy for people who are ill. And then the article that was in the New York Daily News a year ago said, closed by saying, Republicans were expected to offer several amendments to the bill Tuesday afternoon, including restrictions on covering abortion and illegal immigrants. It's just hard to imagine these people living on the same planet with normal people. I don't know. I've never run across anything like this. Oh, well, here's some good news. Here's some good news to sort of counterbalance the bad news that radioactive iodine is now turning up in a very small number of Japanese women's breast milk. According to this was in the Anchorage Daily News, Alaska. He says, Ron Klein of the Department of Environmental Conservation in Alaska, that's Alaska's Food Safety Program Manager, said the FDA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration have demonstrated that Alaskans have no cause to worry that North Pacific fish are contaminated by radioactive material from the nuclear plant in Japan. And there's no reason to even test them. Why? Remember BP's excuse for not installing blowout preventers in their Gulf drilling rigs? No reason for that. Dangerous levels of radiation have been reported off the coast from the Fukushima nuclear reactor. However, a spokeswoman for the Federal Food and Drug Administration told the Anchorage Daily News that the ocean is so huge and Alaska fisheries so far away that there's no realistic threat. Well, of course not. How could there be a threat? I mean, wow, man, Japan is what? From Alaska? What, 5,000-6,000 miles away? I think Sarah Palin can see Alaska from her outhouse, can't she? Huh? Oh, look, there's Japan. I mean Japan, I didn't mean Alaska. Ron Klein, Alaska's Food Safety Program Manager, said, quote, based on the work they're doing, FDA and the NOAA, based on the work they're doing, no sampling or monitoring of our fish is necessary. No. No, 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 no. We don't need to do that. Oh, man. Now, of course, the FDA and the NOAA and none of these government organizations have been testing fish caught in the Pacific off the coast of Alaska. Because, you know, Japan is so far away. It's way over there. Do you know it's way, way far away? My God. Going back to the efforts by the federal government to get a handle on Vicodin and OxyContin and some of these other drugs that are addicting people and causing people to die and die spiritually and then die psychologically and then die emotionally, although those two may be reversed, and finally die physically. Rush Limbaugh is a perfect example. Before he became an illegal pharmaceutical drug addict, the guy was actually funny occasionally. And then, after he got hooked on OxyContin and ate them like you and I would eat jelly beans for God knows how many years, and drove himself deaf and put his housekeeper on the street to score more illegal drugs for him. After all of that and setting an example.
Hey, look, you know, I can do it. I'm a big success. I make $50 million a year. God damn, I love these things.
After all the addictive properties of these drugs have begun to manifest and people are eating them, hillbilly heroin, eating them like Limbaugh did, it's putting a tremendous strain on the physicians who would like to prescribe these painkillers for legitimate reasons. I got a letter here from Jude, an email. I'll share it with you when we come back about just that subject.
Seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by George Tatarian. And his message, the Sunday is not only Easter, it is April the 24th. The last time Easter Sunday fell on April 24th was in 1915 when the Turkish government enacted their final solution and thus began the systematic genocide of their Armenian population. By 1918, out of a population of 2.5 million, 1.5 million were dead. I am the grandson of survivors. Jude writes regarding the abuse of drugs like OxyContin and Vicodin and Dilaudid and these pain medications, the absolute abuse, and now in response to that abuse, an attempt by the Obama administration to require more training for doctors who may or may not prescribe them, or who may prescribe them. Jude writes, when I hear stories such as the increased abuse of pain meds, my heart races, and there is still some residual anger with certain physicians who I had to deal with while I was working with hospice. Mostly, my hours with hospice were from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., which led me into homes during the middle of the night, either for their loved ones in severe pain or for a death. I cannot count the number of physicians who refused to provide adequate pain management. It was shocking, Mike, to be in the presence of a human being with a cancerous growth devouring their internal organs, and in some cases, actual visual necrotic tissue eating the person alive. Not only would they not provide the specific pain med, but in the process tried to leave me thinking I was some type of crazy nurse who had no reason to be bothering them. One physician, and I use the term lightly, tried to yell and shame me off the telephone when what I was seeking happened to be a woman that was discharged that same day by him. She had pancreatic cancer, and the only meds he provided was Tylenol 3 and methadone. Methadone? Bastard. It took many hours in this home with the woman moaning terribly. When finally I had to let the family know the only way I could help was to have that physician discharge. Trust me, Mike, it was damn scary, but the patient needed this. So to know that the vile ones, such as Rush Limbaugh, can locate and medicate with anything they want, for me, is so repulsive and brings back nights such as described above. I was even threatened with having my nursing license pulled, as the doctor said he would be making a complaint to the Board of Nursing. In the end, our hospice medical director took over the case, and in 2 days, this lovely woman died in her own home, pain-free, breathing comfortably with a calmness to her face, having all her family surrounding her. Jude. Well, if you get a chance and you want to know just another example of how the misapplication of painkillers, there's always been this dichotomy in this country, this problem, you know, because we're such a Christian nation and, you know, suffering is, I mean, Jesus suffered. I mean, tomorrow is, I don't know why they call it Good Friday, but tomorrow is the day that Christ was crucified, according to the religious texts of the Christians, right? So if Christ could hang on the cross, if Jesus, I should say, could hang on the cross and die a slow, horrible death, well, then somebody with pancreatic cancer should embrace their pain. Isn't that what the Catholic Church teaches? They are so against euthanasia because, well, after all, suffering is like Jesus. I mean, how sick is that? How perverted is that? How destructive is that? How do you explain that to kids or young people? How do you do that? Well, no, mommy has cancer. It's terminal. It's stage whatever. And mommy's dying. And the reason she's writhing around in the bed and screaming is because she is in horrible pain. And we can't give it to her because Jesus died on the cross and he was in pain. Now you go to your room and be quiet while mommy dies. But Rush Limbaugh, he can get as many of the goddamn things as he wants. I'm rich. I make $50 million a year. I don't give a goddamn about my hearing. Give me the drugs. Where's my housekeeper? Get your ass out there. I'll bust you that car. Go get me some. We've always had this terrible dichotomy in this country about pain meds. I remember reading about people who were maybe days, if not hours, away from dying. And in pain, intractable pain is the word they use, intractable. It's even ugly when you look at the word in print, intractable. But the attending physicians didn't want to give the person dying narcotics, opiates, because after all, they could become addicted. They could become addicted in the last 12 hours of their lives. My brother died of metastatic colon cancer. He was in agony. I remember giving him his morphine tablets. He was still in agony. Until you have dealt with someone, either because you're a hospice nurse or because you have a family member who is dying of cancer, and the disease that is active in whatever organ it's active in, and the pain is something you cannot stand to see on your loved one's face, until you experience that, the best thing to do about this subject is shut the hell up. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. On the Malloy program, this hour is sponsored by Nancy Rose Balamute. Thank you, Nancy. And her message is no message. Nancy Rose Balamute is the sponsor for this hour. God, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. It has, it's now been, 6 months since some really deranged people in this country, people who have had, I don't know, their brains sucked out, their ability to reason, their common sense, just vacuumed right out of their corpuses. And as a result of that vacuuming, Republicans in large numbers went to Congress and a lot of the state legislatures around the country. 6 months now. So what's happened? Huh? New York Times a couple days ago had an editorial about this. And as they pointed out, it's now possible to see the full landscape of destruction that the Republican policies, if they're ever enacted into law, will cause. You know, I bet you complain and go after the Democrats, the Democratic Party, so often on this program. But if there ever was a definition of the lesser of two evils, it would be the Democrats. And the greater, by far, of two evils, it would be the Republicans. And I think the evilness of the Democratic Party is its inability to assert the policies or the principles that it says it still believes in. That's their weakness. Well, I know a lot of them have been co-opted by corporate America, too. I understand that. The evilness of the Republican Party is pure evil. These are sick people. These are very, very seriously ill, sociopathic individuals. These followers of Ayn Rand, these people who apparently swallowed the dictum of, I hate to use the tired old Hitler thing again, but I think it was Hitler that said humanitarianism is the expression of stupidity and cowardice. Humanitarianism being communitarianism, all for one for all. No, it's not communism. It's humanitarianism. It's the expression of stupidity and cowardice. Wow. Well, that's what the teabaggers believe in. And what they are putting into place, and the term teabagger now for me is the term for Republican. The teabaggers have put in place, or want to put in place, they keep enacting, the House of Representatives keeps enacting stuff that will never, ever, 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 one hopes, pass into law. But they want to put in place a hybridization of the worst of Stalinism and the worst of Hitlerian propaganda techniques and disdain for anything in the human spirit that is good, sweet, kind, nice, pleasant, happy, hopeful. And you can tell how successful they are being or not being by the character of the candidates that they're putting out there to run for the presidency coming up next year. Take a look at these swine. Take a look at them. I mean, listen to each and every one of these spokespeople, men and women, for the Republicans, for the teabaggers. Listen to them. I mean, it's astonishing that this country, I don't know why it's astonishing, we've always had an inclination toward fascism, but it's astonishing that this country has now mainstreamed these people. A Michelle Bachmann? A Huckabee? A Donald Trump? It wasn't so long ago that this collection of Paul Ryan, this collection of just bad people, mean-spirited, ugly, hate-filled people would have been consigned to the fringes of the political rainbow. No more. These are Republicans now. So the idea of the bagger Republicans, they're all engaged in a project to dismantle the very foundations of the New Deal and the Great Society. And in their minds, to liberate the rich from the inconveniences of, you know, taxes, and to liberate the capitalist owners of everything from this nasty business of oversight or rules and regulations, you know. And, oh, it's a glorious day. 50,000 people hired by McDonald's all in one day. When was it? Tuesday? Wednesday? When was it? God, it seems so long ago. Corporate America marches on. The average pay of the 50,000 workers being hired, $8.35 an hour. Son of a bitch, we pay our babysitter more than that. How sick it's become, thanks to the Republicans, thanks to the corporatists, thanks to the fact that the company or the country, well, it might as well be a company, the country is now owned by corporate America. Now, at the very beginning of this madness, it seemed that, you know, just a few freshmen and, you know, these half-wits that came out of nowhere and got themselves elected by screaming that Obama was a communist, or no, he's a socialist, no, he's a Nazi, no, he's a Kenyan, no, he's not a citizen, no, he's, you know, all that stuff. So because the American body politic is chock-a-block with half-wits, dumbasses, and willfully ignorant people, there were certain precincts around the country that said, yeah, that's right, and sent these people to Congress. They have no more business being in a position of making law in this country or determining domestic or foreign policy than they have expressing any opinion. They're sociopaths. They're crazy. In a rational society, they would be turned to the fringes and left there, or if they continued to mouth this insanity, they would be treated as such, people who were crazy. Crazy is not a politically correct term, is it? No, it isn't. But it damn sure applies to the Republicans. Crazy. But they're not just a few freshmen and people on the fringe. Last Friday, all but four House Republicans. How many House Republicans are there? 237? They all show just how far their mainstream has been dragged to the right. They approved on strict party lines the most regressive social legislation in decades. And it was all put together in this blueprint by this, I don't know, he looks like Eddie Munster grown up, Paul Ryan, this congressman from Wisconsin. Who is this dork? And why is he laying out a blueprint that is supposed to be the governing principles inside this country? What the hell is going on? Only four Democrats and all the Republicans, I'm sorry, only four Republicans and all the Democrats said no to this garbage, but it still passed. The House is not going anywhere. But this shows you. Now, for the voters, I hope the willfully ignorant, the brain dead, the terminally stupid, what am I saying? I was about to say I hope they'll take a look at the votes that these pigs cast and determine their future political use by those votes. But I can't say that because the brain dead, willfully ignorant, first won't take a look at the votes and secondly would probably applaud. Yeah, get rid of Social Security. Goddamn right. Don't take it away from my ma and my handicapped son, but get rid of them for everybody else. Yeah, I believe in that. You're damn right. We'll be right back.
Well, this is evident, yeah, in the American way, you must get in that.
Well, here comes the man with a look in his eye.
set on nothing but full of pride. Look at them go, look at them kick. Makes you wonder how the other half live.
Twenty-one past the hour. So, the actions of the teabag, the Republican neo-fascist corporatist, whatever you want to call him, as the New York Times pointed out in editorial a couple of last week, the actions of these Republicans would have been unimaginable just 8 years ago, back during the bad old days of the Bush crime family. Even then. Remember, that was a Republican Party that added a prescription drug benefit to Medicare. Now, granted, they refused to fund it, and granted, it was set up to reward the pharmaceutical companies, but they still did it, you see? And while a cynic like moi could make the argument that there was no altruism involved, there was no concern about old folks involved in that decision, it was all about the pharmaceutical industry, one still has to conclude. Sorry, I didn't mean to cough in your ear. One has to conclude come to the obvious conclusion that the legislation still passed. Can you imagine that happening now with the neo-fascists, with the teabaggers? Please. Now, when Paul Ryan submitted this document for approval by the other teabaggers that make up the Congress, which is every Republican with the exception of those four, Ryan said that the vote would be, quote, our generation's defining moment, end quote. He doesn't, apparently he didn't know, or else he missed the irony. I'm sure it's the latter. That what he was saying was absolutely true. It is the defining moment of the teabaggers. The bill would end the guarantee provided by Medicare, end the guarantee provided by Medicaid to the elderly and the poor, which has been provided by the federal government with all of our a complete agreement since 1965. The elderly in particular would be cut adrift. By Paul Ryan. People now under 55 would be required to pay at least $6,400, that's in today's dollars, more for health care when they qualified for Medicare, according to the Congressional Budget Office. This $4.3 trillion in budget cuts that this clown is suggesting would take effect, fully two-thirds would come from low-income programs, programs that benefit low-income people. This you defining moment, you're goddamn right it's a defining moment, Paul Ryan. It shows you as the predatory vampire thug that you are. His budget would cut food stamps by $127 billion, or 20%, over the next 10 years, certainly increasing hunger among the poor. Nice move, Ryan. You Ayn Randian freak. That's a good one, huh? That's a good one. It will cut Pell Grants for all 9.5 million student recipients next year, removing as many as 1 million of students from the program altogether. Kick them to the curb, right, Paul? It would remove more than 100,000 low-income children from Head Start. Oh, nice. That's really good. You evil son of a bitch. You really, really are evil. It would slash job training programs for the unemployed, desperate to learn a new skill that is marketable. This is a Republican defining moment, you bet. If you're not paying attention to their defining moment, then whatever falls on your shoulders, your back, your head, your children's over the next 10 years will be your own fault because you didn't pay attention to what Paul Ryan says is the defining moment of his generation. Really? Corruption, meanness, poverty. Take away Pell Grants from kids struggling to get educations. Cut Head Start. Cut food stamps. Cut Medicaid. Cut Medicare. defining moment? Okay, his words, not mine. Now, among all the slashing, it'll preserve the Bush tax cuts for the rich and even expand them. Defining moment, eh, Paul? Irony's lost on these rat bastards, really. Now, this craziness, this infection, this virus that is spreading across the country has already spread to, or is also spread, I should say, to state governments, to state houses, state legislatures. I'll give you a little example of that when we come back from this break. So stick around. A defining moment, huh? A defining moment of Paul Ryan's generation. No, Paul, it's not the defining moment of your generation. It's the defining moment of you filthy, degenerate, neo-fascist, Ayn Rand lovers. That's who's being defined. Before the hour. So the defining moment of Paul Ryan's generation is visible for anyone who wants to take a look. The destruction that the Teabag Party is trying to bring to this country is incalculable. You know, actions have consequences, both intended and unintended, right? Didn't your mama tell you that? She should have. Cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, cutting food stamps, cutting all sorts of government programs, Pell Grants, cutting kids from Head Start, slashing job training programs for the unemployed, expanding the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy. Do you think all that can happen and this country remain viable, alive, breathing? Now, as I mentioned, this craziness has spread to the state legislatures now and the various governors. Take a look at these governors around. Look at Walker. Look at Rick. Who's the guy in Michigan who has adopted some of the most blatant activities? Rick Snyder, the blatant activities of the old Soviet Union. I mean, come on. Don't forget, Ayn Rand is a product of the Russian experience, the Soviet experience. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Several states have cut their unemployment benefits below the standard 26 weeks. Now, why? How does that benefit the state? It doesn't. This crazed Jan Brewer of Arizona, even though she did veto a couple of bills, probably because they weren't stringent enough for her, has proposed removing 138,000 people from Medicaid. Just kick them to the street. To hell with them. And what happens to those 138,000 people who are getting probably the lowest level of medical care available in the United States? How many doctors and hospitals and health care providers don't even accept Medicaid? But Jan Brewer, kick them to the street. To hell with them. Cut their throats. Now, these services, of course, are being cut because Republicans have made it so politically impossible to raise taxes. I mean, why not raise taxes on the people who can afford it? Just like Willie Sutton robbed banks because that's where the money was. Why not? I mean, what is what is wrong with that? If we took everybody in this country who made over $500,000 a year. Now, I'm just picking that as an arbitrary number because that is, what is that, 10 times the average family income, the median family, I don't even know anymore. But any family making over, or any wage earner, any individual, not a family, any individual making over $500,000 a year, and put that person in a 40% tax bracket, period. End of story. That's it. You don't like it? Tough. This is the price of living in the United States. Yes, selfish, greedy bastard. How long do you think it would take to restore the Pell Grant cuts, to restore the Medicaid, restore the Medicare, restore the Head Start, restore educational programs, restore viability to school boards? How long do you think it would take? Education, mental health, juvenile justice, funds for all of these have been targets on the state level. You ought to see what it's like here in Georgia. Oh, my God. And by the way, yesterday, Georgia adopted a so-called illegal immigration policy that pretty much mimics the one in Arizona. And our brain dead half-wit, almost convicted, almost indicted when he was in Congress, pissant of a governor, says he's going to sign it. Oh, yeah, of course he's going to sign it. Why not? Now, guess who he's getting opposition from? You'll never believe this. You'll never believe it. At the last moment, after the Georgia General Assembly passed, both houses passed this repressive, regressive, hate-filled, disgusting, contemptible immigration bill, and our governor, what's his name?
Nathan Deal.
Our governor swears he's going to sign it. The State Chamber of Commerce and the Atlanta City Council, I believe the State Chamber of Commerce, said, no, wait, Nathan, don't, come on, you're just going a little bit too far there. We need the slave labor. We need the slave labor. If we don't have the slave labor, Nathan, who's going to harvest the peanut crop, the strawberry crop, the cotton crop, the soybean crop? Who's going to do that? White folk? Who's going to do the scut work in the cities? Who's going to stand out in front of Home Depot waiting to be picked up? Or in front of Lowe's waiting to be given a day job? Who's going to do all this work, Nathan? Come on. We don't like these brown-skinned devils either, but we need the slave labor. This is the South, boy. Chamber of Commerce is saying that. Oh, my goodness. In Wisconsin, Ohio, Indiana, Maine, Florida, Georgia, all over the place. Republican governors are using the smokescreen of a poor economy that they helped bring about because of their party's policies. That's the part that just drives me insane. But this was the Reagan plan. This was the Reagan plan. Run up the national debt so high. This is how you destroy the social programs. Profligate spending. No checks, no balances. Spend it on wealthy people. Cut taxes. That's how you do it. Just cut taxes to the bone. These services have to be paid for, right? Run up massive deficits and then come with your disgusting, phony, fake face on and say, oh, well, we're in such dire shape, we have to cut everything now. Sorry, that's the way it goes. We have to destroy all these social programs. And, oh, by the way, you know one of the biggest problems why we're so deeply in debt? It's those goddamn public unions. We got to destroy the unions. They've got a stranglehold on America. My God, 8% of workers are unionized. And of that 8%, 70% are in the public sector. That's why our country is suffocating and dying and going down the toilet. Unions! Really? That's all it is, huh? Destroying the unions has nothing to do with creating jobs. And I hope that the blue-collar voters who supported Republicans last November, I hope they're paying attention. But they won't be. You can cut these devils' throats and laugh while they bleed. And they'll just lay there on the ground and gurgle, and as their blood runs out on the ground, saying and swearing that as soon as their neck is sewn up, they'll vote Republican again. It's that bad. So in regard to all this, Joe in Temecula, California, sent me an email. It just kind of corresponds. He sent this yesterday, this story, of course, of Paul Ryan and the vampires is getting old now. But Joe writes, I was listening to Tuesday's program where you read an article about Ayn Rand and discussed her primary inspiration happened to have been a serial killer. It was during this moment that something in my brain clicked. It was sort of like starting a jigsaw puzzle. You know, where you open the box and you dump the pieces on the table and you prop up the box so you can see the picture, and then you stare at the pieces for a while, and eventually your brain begins to find pieces that fit together. Well, Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism, known to most as being selfish and inconsiderate of others, objectivism has basically shaped the last 50 years of our history. I would say from 1950 to 1980, conservatives laid the foundation for taking political and economic control of this country. And in 1980, beginning with Reagan, the economic and political takeover of this country by Randism started. Alan Greenspan, the guy who was basically in charge of our economy for the last 30 years, was an Ayn Rand acolyte. Alan Greenspan said his job was to keep wages low and the worker insecurity was a good thing to him because it put downward pressure on wages, which in his view was good for corporations. Obviously, Greenspan lacked compassion for workers. Duh. Paul Ryan makes all his new staffers read Atlas Shrugged. Paul Ryan's vision is an America where Social Security and Medicare are eliminated. Anyone with common sense knows this vision could devastate the elderly poor. But Ryan's Randian philosophy doesn't care. Ayn Rand hated altruism and the idea that human beings should try to help each other. I think it's fair to say that Ryan feels the same way. All one has to do is, as Malloy just said, look at his budget plan. And there is another, or I should say there it is in one form or another. You can see it all in Ryan's plan, sociopathology. Sociopathology. Or the book I'm reading right now, which as I've said is dense as hell and it's a real slow slog, but it's worth it. Political Ponerology. I strongly recommend that. If you've got the patience. More from Joe in Temecula in just a moment. We have to take a break here. All one has to do is look at Paul Ryan's budget plan to know where this rat bastard's brain is. Stick around. A little more coming up when we come back. This hour has been sponsored by Nancy Rose Valamute. Thank you, Nancy. Nancy Rose Valamute. Anyway, back to Joe from Temecula, California's letter, talking about how Paul Ryan's vision and the Republicans' vision of America, the teabaggers, is the same as Ayn Rand, who was truly a sociopath. Joe writes, Ayn Rand is the psychopath guiding the would-be empire builders of our time. Many of these would-be empire builders, such as Paul Ryan and Alan Greenspan, are sociopaths themselves. Like it or not, ponerology is at work here, and we are still having our history shaped for us by psychopaths. Let me digress. That's what the book is about, political ponerology, how it's been the crazy people. And think about it, just very quickly, think about it. The greatest influence on the course or the direction of human history has been brought about by psychopaths. Just spend a little time thinking about it, and you'll get the gist of what this book is about. The only catch, Joe writes, for these rat bastard teabagged Republicans is that Ayn Rand was an atheist. She thought the conservative movement was going off the rails by attaching itself to Christianity, which it has done. How many of these Christian right-wingers who admire Paul Ryan's courage for his budget plan understand that Ryan's plan is based on the philosophy of an atheist? Does Rand Paul, Paul Ryan, John Boehner understand that their economic policy is not only based on an atheist's theory, but also antithetical to Jesus's economic philosophy? Do they understand that? There's some video on YouTube of Ayn Rand being interviewed by Mike Wallace in 1959 and later in the 1970s by Phil Donahue. I challenge the teabaggers to watch these videos and then talk to Paul Ryan about what I would assume has to be his atheist beliefs. You can't hand a copy of Atlas Shrugged off to a staffer to read and then claim to be a Christian. Oh yeah, and where's her birth certificate? Ayn Rand's. Ayn Rand, obviously, gives atheists a bad name. Ayn Rand seems to suggest that being an atheist means you don't have compassion or the desire to help other people. That's not true. And I can prove it with her own belief in so-called objectivism. I know plenty of atheists who care about people and are compassionate and do not display the sociopathology the Randians and the teabaggers exhibit. But in the end, it turns out Ayn Rand's twisted philosophy is the real parasite, the real one that has infected our country like a mind virus and needs to be eliminated. Or we will all perish. Joe in Temecula, California. Yeah, and Ayn Rand does give atheism a terrible bad name. I disclaim her. I claim my atheism as strongly as I claim the color of my eyes. But Ayn Rand, not only was she a self-described atheist for all the wrong reasons. All the wrong reasons. But to be even inadvertently placed in the same camp as this psychopath does no good for me or anybody else who has come to the conclusion that religion is delusional. But if you add the delusion of religion and the sociopathology of Ayn Rand's political ideas and mush them all together, what do you come up with? An absolutely clear recipe for self-destruction of an entire society. There it is. Hello. Staring you right in the face. Now, you have to have spokesmen and spokeswomen who will rise above the herd and make sure that the message is being pounded home, the message of self-destruction. And that's where freaks like Michelle Bachmann and Sarah Palin and Paul Ryan and Rand Paul and, I mean, just go right down the list. Grover Norquist, I mean, on and on and on. Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, it just never stops. John Boehner, we have an endless supply of sociopaths who, as clearly laid out in the book Political Ponerology, evil bastards. Evil. I mean, just if you want a definition of evil, don't go to your holy texts. Don't go to your religious tracts. Take a look at the political course of your country, your culture, your society. Take a look at that, and there you will find evil overwhelming. You don't need to invent devils and places called hell in order to personify evil. You don't have to do it. All you have to do is just take a look at the political landscape. Look at who is today, last week, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago. Who were the leaders? Who were the ones that determined how many millions of human beings were going to die, slaughtered because of their particular political ponerology? All you have to do is take a look. You got the guts? So the Paul Ryans and the Walkers and Snyders and all the rest of these animals that are now roaming the landscape, the American landscape, are clearly defined. They're just part of a larger piece of people who hate themselves, hate their societies, hate everything, and are hell-bent on destruction. Yes, and Stalin and Hitler and Pol Pot and George Bush are right in there, too. But this is what we have to deal with. And my question is, how long, what's it going to take before we finally realize the course we're on and stop it? I'll see you tomorrow night, Truth Seeker. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.
As a small business.